We are talking Phoenix Coyotes with our good buddy Tyson Nash. Nasher, how you doing, my man?
How we doing, bud?
Hey, we're good, man. You guys are in a death race again for the playoffs. Big win, and then I'm sure you guys watch with interest as Dallas got spanked by Winnipeg. So tied in points with 15 games to go in the regular season. Update us on the injury front in Phoenix. Is there any major injuries? Anybody coming back? Anything like that?
Well, we heard today that Martin Hanzo will be available, I believe, for tonight. He did not take line rushes at the morning skate, so that kind of leads me to believe that he will not play, but hopefully soon. He's on the mend. That's the biggest one for sure. So I guess what we'll see as far as that goes, we're pretty healthy and looking at another two big points tonight, bud.
And you're in Los Angeles. How did the Coyotes fare against the Sharks and the Kings and the Ducks, the big teams, you know, like the big physical teams in the West?
Well, believe it or not, you know, the Coyotes, when they play the Calgary Flames and the Buffalo Sabres, those are the teams that they have a hard time with. It's almost like they take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, take them for granted. When they play the bigger teams, the good teams, like the Pittsburghs and the Chicagos, they've fared really well this year. LA is as well. So Anaheim, not so much. So it's kind of a crapshoot. You never know what you're going to get out of this team. But obviously, as you mentioned, this is one of the biggest games of the year here tonight. These two teams don't like each other. They met in the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago, and they've started a little bit of a rivalry here. So that's always fun. So I don't think it'll take much to get both these clubs up for this game.
You mentioned Hanzel being out, and man, they could really use him against the Kings. You know, big, strong presence down the middle. How much have they missed him? Have you noticed a big difference with him out of the lineup?
Well, you can replace certain players for a short period. You put a Band-Aid over it for a while, but eventually it comes back to haunt you. And if he's not playing in this game tonight, that's a huge hole, just because, as you mentioned, you know, the big teams, they played the Boston Bruins a couple of games ago, same thing. And I might add, the Boston Bruins are the best team that I've seen all season long, hands down. Big, physical, put you through the boards, and they can outscore pretty much every team in the National Hockey League as well. So that's a side note, but LA is the exact same way right now. And right now they're playing like the LA Kings of old. They won 8 games in a row, and now they've lost two in a row. But this is a big, heavy team. And without Martin Hanzel, it's tough to put anyone else on guys like Kopitar and Carter, some of those big boys that are very tough to defend against.
Tyson Nash joins us. Phoenix Coyotes, of course, taking on the LA Kings as the race for the playoffs heats up into about the final 15 games. Phoenix, 75 points. Tied with Dallas for 75 points as well. And really, it's come down to that final playoff spot. LA's 7 points up. Minnesota's 5 points up, which is a lot to gain ground in a 15-game period, Tyson. I want to talk about the defense in Phoenix this year, because it's funny. Dave Tippett, you know, was long about, man, great defensive zone system and everything. And they've given up way more goals this year, but they've also scored more. What's your conclusion as to why that is?
Well, I think that the start of the year, you're right, that's exactly what was happening. I think the Coyotes' defense was leading the NHL for, I think, the first 12, 13 games in points and goals. But I think when you're scoring at that type of pace, you're giving up something defensively, and that's what was happening, with the Coyotes. I think we've had inconsistent goaltending up till February. Since February, Mike Smith has been one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League as far as stats go. So this is a team, though, that if they're going to have success, they have to play one way and one way only. They need offense from their back end, but you can't afford to give up anything defensively, because that's how this team is built. We don't have superstars that you're going to outscore the other team. You don't have Crosbys that you can depend on. You have to play ice bag hockey, we like to call it around here. That's doing all the dirty work and the details of the game, blocking shots, the tight gaps, good backside pressure, just all the stuff that you hear about. That's how this team has to play it. And if they don't, they don't have a chance.
That's got to be pretty taxing, after a while, to say, man, if they don't play that way, they don't have a chance. right? And I guess that's the harsh reality of it. But eventually it's something that, you know, they're going to maybe need to add a few more purely offensive guys, Tyson. So on a day that maybe you don't outwork the team, that you might be able to get lucky for a few shifts and outskill them and ultimately be the difference in the game.
Well, and that's just it. And I think, you know, for certain stretches this year, this team was at a loss for its identity. You know, they bring in a guy like Mike Ribeiro, and you're sitting there going, okay, are we more of a skill team now? Is that how we all got to play? Or are we still that muck and grind type of defensive team? And I think, you know, now that they've found their identity again and got everyone to buy in, that's why they're having success as of late. But there's no question they need a few more offensive pieces just to make it a little bit easier. Their power play is really clicking right now. I think it's ninth in the National Hockey League. The addition of Newell Brown coming from the Vancouver Canucks was a huge addition as an assistant coach helping out the power play. But that's also why they were really interested in Alex Hemsky, bringing him here. He would have been a perfect fit, I think, with a guy like Martin Hansel and Radim Vrbata. It obviously didn't work out, but that's probably a guy or a type of player that the Coyotes would be looking for in the offseason.
Alex Hemsky, now it's interesting. I know there was a lot of rumors about him maybe Phoenix being interested at the deadline. I know he's going to test the free agent market, Tyson. Although the one thing I did talk to Hemsky about, and he admitted that the Eastern style of play now is maybe more suited to his game than the West. It's a lot more wide open and a lot smaller forwards on average in the skill positions in the West. What do you think?
Well, I think for Hemsky, it's ultimately going to be about dollars. You know, I'm sure if someone out west is going to give him the right money to come out west, that's probably where he's going to go. But I tend to agree with him, and I think you've seen the success that he's had early there in Ottawa. So I think he's right on point as far as what he's saying to what his game is more tailored to. So, it'll be an interesting decision for him. I think he'll be one of the big ones out there as far as unrestricted free agency goes. And personally, I think it'll be interesting to see if he even gets to the market without Ottawa offering him a long-term deal.
Tyson Nash, as a former player, you're 30 years of age. You've bypassed free agency already. Don't you have to try it at 30 years of age now?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, I think... of all the guys, you know, I was really anxious to see, you know, what was going to happen with Shane Doan. He was obviously a lot older, but he was a guy that I never thought would ever see unrestricted free agency, and he saw it, and it's crazy. The offers that were thrown his way, I mean, it's just incredible, the money that these owners and general managers throw around. Not saying that Shane Doan's not worth it. But, I think that's probably on Hemsky's mind, especially I don't think there's a lot of talent out there as far as unrestricted free agency this summer. So I think the money will be big for him.
Would Phoenix be in the market for a trade, you know, outside of Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who I think is likely untouchable in Phoenix? If they wanted to acquire, you know, a skilled forward to help them produce, would Keith Yandel be on the market, do you think, Tyson? Would that be realistic?
Well, you know, just because I've seen Keith play so much, I don't know what they're thinking exactly. I'm sure there's definitely a few untouchables on this team. I would like to think that Keith would be an untouchable. This guy, I watch him every night, and yes, he's a wild horse. Yes, at times he can be a defensive liability, but it takes a lot of courage to play the way that he does, to be able to make a mistake and then bounce right back and make two real good plays and win the game for your hockey club. I mean, he's leading this team in points once again for the second straight year. And just what he brings offensively to a team that doesn't have a whole lot of offense. You know, yeah, he makes a bad play in Boston, costs the first goal. But then, you know, he's the big reason why they, you know, ended up making it 2-1 late in the game. So you take the good with the bad. I would hope that Keith Yandler would not go anywhere. He doesn't, you know, every team needs a guy like that on their back end as far as money goes. You know, the guys that play the way that he does are making a boatload more than he is, believe it or not. So hopefully he doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, but I just eventually, if you want to get some real scoring, you likely got to give up something of value, right? What about any of their young defensemen? Do you think they'd part with them?
I think so. They have a lot of them. They have a ton of guys. They got some guys in the American Hockey League in Portland. We're seeing Chris Summers and Gormley right now. They got Connor Murphy in the wings as well. So Michael Stone, David Schlemko. So they have an abundance of young, very talented defensemen that I think that's probably the way that I would go. You know, obviously you got to get something or give up something good to get something good. And I definitely give up a younger talent before I give up a Keith Yambo, who's not old by any means. But I think the other thing is that the Coyotes finally have ownership. That's something that we haven't talked a lot about. They're willing to spend money. They obviously have a budget, but knowing all the players around the league, all the players that come to Phoenix in the off season, the Olympic breaks, the lockout, players want to come to Phoenix and play. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this summer.
Tyson, one last one for you. San Jose and Anaheim are now tied atop the Pacific Division with 97 points. If Phoenix gets in, they'll obviously finish fourth and face one of them. Who is a better matchup for the Coyotes?
Well, you know, believe it or not, for whatever reason, they have had all sorts of trouble against the Ducks this year. Just shutting down that top line has been a real issue. And now with the secondary scoring that the Ducks have, you know, it's pretty powerful. And the Coyotes have had a lot of success against San Jose. So for whatever reason, Mike Smith has stood on his head against the Sharks. So I think that would probably be the more favorable opponent if that's how it plays out. So right now, though, Coyotes just want to get into the playoffs, and they're going to have one heck of a battle against the Dallas Stars, who, by the way, they play the last game of the season.
Really? Oh, man, hopefully they're tied. That'd be awesome. Love the schedule maker. Could have been a very smart man this year. Nasher, we'll see how it plays out. We'll enjoy it. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Greg.